Thank you so much for bringing a dramatic reading of the 23rd Psalm, a word that is, I never grow tired of reading it or hearing it, no matter the context or the time, whether with people or alone, the 23rd Psalm speaks so powerfully. I'd like to invite you at this time to pause in a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank you for the 23rd Psalm. We remember these words that are as a balm, a ointment for our wounds, for our hurts, for our deepest spiritual needs. Thank you for these teachings that are true, that are forever. We thank you that your word speaks so powerfully to us wherever we are in our journey of life. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This word of the 23rd Psalm speaks of both peaks and valleys in our lives. We have those joyous times and seasons where it seems like everything goes our way. And we call that blessing. I'm reminded of the cornucopia here in front of me. And it is a reminder to us of God's goodness and blessings and provision for us. And I'm reminded that God is with us in the peaks in such blessed times. But the 23rd Psalm helps remind me that God is with me in the valleys as well. He's especially with me in the valleys when things are not going my way, when it may be difficult, when it may be a fearful moment, that God is especially with me in those moments in the valley of the shadow of death. God is with us in the peaks and in the valleys and all in between. That's the good news for all of us today, wherever we are. We are moving through this 23rd Psalm, two verses at a time. Last week we heard that the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. He leads us to the green pastures and the still waters. Today we pick up with he restores our soul. And some of this language comes from the King James or the New King James, the way many of us learned this psalm years ago. What we have heard read is the New Living Translation, but the meaning is still the same. And this is the first major teaching for today, is that God restores our soul. Is there anyone who is in trouble? Is there anyone under guilt and shame, the need of forgiveness? Is there anyone alone or misunderstood or out of sorts? The good news here is that God restores our soul. He has that healing capability to make that which is wrong, to redeem it and make it right, and to restore that which once was, or to restore in a way that was better than ever before. God restores us, and this is the word of the psalmist David. And David, by the way, knew this message, didn't he? King David. He had sinned. He had lusted for Bathsheba. He had orchestrated for Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, to be sent to the front lines of the battle. So when he writes this psalm, he knows what it is like to have this need of restoration. And here is the promise that the Lord restores. He restores that is broken. He restores that which is not right and makes it right. He restores that which appears lost and makes it better than it ever was. The Lord restores our soul. He leads us in the paths of righteousness is the next line. And that is perhaps a line that we might skim over. Makes sense, leads, path, righteousness. But what does it mean to be led in the path of righteousness? My wife Karen and I were traveling this past Monday from Onion, Alabama. She said, what scripture do you want to talk about? Role reversal. And I said, I don't know. I said, well, I'm going to be preaching on the 23rd Psalm Sunday, so we could talk about that. And as she read it, that was her question. What does it mean to be led in the paths of righteousness? Good question. What does it mean to be led by God into the paths of righteousness? Well, as it turns out, there are at least two meanings to this. One is the path of righteousness is to live in that life that God calls us to. The Ten Commandments, following and obeying the Ten Commandments, loving God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, as Jesus commanded, loving our neighbor as ourself. These are commandments. This is righteousness. We are following God's way when we follow these commands, when we love our neighbor, when we love the Lord above all. We're following these commands. It's also a meaning of walking step by step, seeking God's will. Seeking God's will with our life. And we do not know where the steps are ultimately leading. We know we're heading to heaven. But in this life, we do not know every twist and turn, but we trust God with the next step. And we seek to walk in His will as best as we can understand it, the next step, one step at a time, into the future. The path of righteousness. What does this mean to us today? One of the hallmark scriptures in the New Testament is in Matthew 6:33. And it is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So in the words of Jesus, we have this psalm that we're to walk in the path of righteousness, to know God's will, to seek Him first, and to seek His righteousness. Then there's a great promise in this psalm. It says, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, this is a reality all of us will face. We will all face our death one day. Our loved ones will all face their death one day. We will breathe our last in this world. But the psalmist is telling us here, we need not be afraid in this valley of death. God is with us. God has a plan, even in our death. We know that Jesus died on the cross. We know He has risen from the grave, and that we can live in this resurrection in Jesus. And so when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we turn to God. We turn to Jesus and we hear those words of Him. Let not your hearts be troubled or afraid. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. So when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even then, we do not fear the valley. There's other valleys. Death is one. The saddest valleys are those we live while we still have life to live and make a difference. Those valleys that we let get the best of us. Depression is a terrible valley, and many people suffer from depression. It's hard to overcome. It's harder than just a pep talk will heal. God walks with us through those kind of valleys too, the valley of depression. The valley when we think that our lives are done or over. God helps us through those darkest times, those dark nights of the soul. And he helps us come out on the other side stronger. He is with us. God walks with us through the dark valleys, the disappointments, the confusing times. God walks with us through all times. And the valleys can be greater than the mountaintop experiences. Sometimes in the mountaintop, when everything's going our way, we begin to take our eyes off the Lord and do not trust him, do not need him as much in our own thinking. It's in the valleys that we, in humility, we bow down and say, Lord, help me. Help me, I'm in the valley. And the Lord walks with us in such times. The psalmist continues, David continues in saying that even in this valley, we will not fear. And we're not going to fear evil. We live in a world that has a lot of evil. We see evil every day. We experience it. We know it's there. We know there's an evil one. The teaching here is to not fear evil. God is greater than evil. God will have the ultimate victory over evil in the end. There may be temporary battles lost. There might be seasons of discouragement because of the temporary losses. But God will win the war. God will win over evil. And the psalmist proclaims it. We need not fear evil. Nothing. Nothing in this world is greater than God. We need not fear anything or anyone or any situation. Notice in this particular photo, the sheep are huddled around a cross. Jesus is known as the Good Shepherd. And this is the reason. Because he lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus said in John 10, that the hireling, they will run at the first sign of trouble. But that the owner of the sheep will not flee and will stay. And this is a great word. That our Lord loves us and he died for us. And we can put our trust and our confidence in his love for us. Now sheep have a lot of characteristics that are similar to us. The next passage says that his rod and his staff, they comfort us. And that the Lord is with us. But the rod is actually like a club, and the shepherd used it for protection, to protect the sheep, to run away or to chase off threats to the sheep with a club. The shepherd's crook, on the other hand, is a symbol of authority, and it is a sign that the shepherd is watching over the sheep, and the shepherd has the authority over the sheep, just like Jesus has the authority over us. We are his sheep. He is the good shepherd. Now, sheep are very clumsy animals. They fall often. They have poor vision. They smell bad. They have a tendency to want to stay in the same place in their life. And part of the role of the shepherd's staff is to lead or to give direction to the sheep. Because if he does not give direction to the sheep. They will stay grazing in the same spot, and it'll become contaminated and unhealthy for the sheep. So they have to move on, and the shepherd prods the sheep forward along the way. The shepherd's staff also means its direction, but it's also one that means affection. The shepherd cares for the sheep. Did you know that sheep actually compete for the spot next to the shepherd? They like to know they're close to the shepherd, the one that cares for them. They actually like to bump up against the shepherd's staff because it's reassuring for them that the one who cares for them is walking with them. The shepherd's staff is also a symbol of inspection. The shepherd, once a sheep is harmed, he will take the shepherd's staff and he'll pull back the wool and he will see if there's injuries that need ointment and care. He cares for his sheep. Did you know that sheep are very top heavy and they can tump over? And that this is one of the reasons why a sheep will wander away from the fold. They didn't wander away at all. They just fell over and nobody helped pick them back up. They were left behind. And that sheep saying, I've fallen and I can't get up. But nobody is there. And the shepherd misses it. And that may change this parable that Jesus tells about the 100 and the one that wandered away. Maybe that one didn't wander away. Maybe just tumped over and nobody knew. And nobody came back. But the good shepherd comes back looking and celebrates when the lost sheep is found. But the sheep depends on the shepherd for all kinds of things. Likewise, our Heavenly Father is the good shepherd and cares for us. When we're clumsy, when we lack vision, when we fall, when we need that guidance and direction on the right path, He gives us all of that. He is the good shepherd. I want to share with you the challenge for the week. And I'd like to invite those of you that are able to stand at this time. I'd like for everyone here to memorize the 23rd Psalm. It's 6 verses, and it's very doable. Some of you already know it from years past, and you say it all the time. Did you know that saying the 23rd Psalm will lower your blood pressure? It will. Check your blood pressure, read the 23rd Psalm, and check it again. It's reassuring. It tells us that we can trust God and that we can walk with God through all life situations. But I'd like for us to say it together. We did it at the 8 o'clock service without the help of the screen, and I was lovingly told after the service, let's put it on the screen. So we're going to have it on the screen, but I'd like for everybody to have as a goal this week to memorize these 6 verses from the 23rd Psalm if we do not already know them. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Take that with you this week. Read it, memorize it in the morning, mid-morning, afternoon, late afternoon, and before you go to bed. And commit it to memory. It'll lower your blood pressure. It'll bring all kind of spiritual thoughts and leading of God to you. Would you pray with me? Thank you, God, for the 23rd Psalm. Help us to live these teachings that we might honor you with our lives and our walk with you, and that we might know your goodness. We thank you for your goodness. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.